Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Invest Talk Distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. If you're looking for aggressive growth, look at the Disciplined Equity Program from KPP. Combining decades of experience at both fundamental and technical analysis, KPP has developed a strategy that filters through thousands of stocks based on business quality, chart strength, and underlying value. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies listed on U.S. exchanges. You can see more about it on investtalk.com when you'd like. Just click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is October 21st, 2016. And I'm glad you're with us today, and welcome to be a part of the program. If you have curiosity, or a question, just curious, or a technical question about any particular company, we can help you fill in the blanks. Today, another twist on what I'm going to talk about today. One of our main talking points is another twist on the pooled money strategy. You know what I mean by pooled money? ETS, mutual funds. Today, we're going to talk about unit investment trusts. Have you ever heard of those before? They were popular in the 1990s. I remember them well. Not so popular today, but there's thousands of them. So bring your questions in to the table, if you don't mind. And I want to hear about your investment experiences, what you're doing. Are you in the market, out of the market, thinking about getting in the market? Are you bending in the market? Love to hear about it. Now, being Friday, I'd like to take a few minutes to skim over our weekly premium newsletter. It hits the inboxes today, Friday. I finish it early in the morning because I do it early in the morning. Today, I started off with the current market conditions section, talking about the economic reports and how they've been mixed this week again. It's been months, weeks and months that the reports have been mixed. There's no big red flags. I talk about that. There's no big red flags. Housing numbers had a little surprise with new construction for homes falling 9%. And that top line number really scared everybody because that's a big number. But if you dug deeper, you'll saw that 39% of that housing starts number was because of 39% fall in the multi-unit houses where there was an increase in single-family homes. But, I talk about leading economic indicators. Permits, which are leading economic indicators, were up big. So it wasn't as bad as it looked. We have a couple of stock ideas in that section. Portfolio management section talked about, the things that you need to know, what kind of knowledge you need, and two other kind of aspects that you have to have if you're going to be successful. Consumer Watch, I talked about identity theft. And, everybody knows it's out there, right? We all know it's out there. And everybody heard about the popular identity theft protection companies. I had a couple of other identity theft companies that focused on not just reporting someone stealing your information, but how to fix it. That's the hard part. Once someone steals it, how do you fix it? How do you get out of that mess? These companies focused on that, or have at least that as part of their identity theft menu of things they do. That's a premium newsletter. Remember, it comes out every Friday. It's a pretty easy read. It's only 3 or 4 pages. If you'd like to try it, please go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the homepage. You can try it for a month, risk-free. Now, it's time to spend those questions you've been saving up. Spend them. Ask me. China, gold, life insurance, real estate, rental properties. What questions do you have? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. We turn now to our 24-hour listener line. Let's get to the Q&A question portion of the program going. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I listened to you on podcast. I had two questions. My first question is about China being in debt. for the longest time, all I heard was China was the one, the country with all the money, and buying all of the U.S. debt. So if China's in debt, who's buying their debt? And my next question is about rebalancing a portfolio. If you have certain stocks you're supposed to hold for a number of years for dividend growth, rebalancing would mean that if the stock goes up, you have to sell some of that off and put it somewhere else, right? I just would like to know to what extent, how far are you selling off if you're supposed to hold that stock for the benefits of it, of its future dividend growth? I'll take your answer on the air. Thank you.
First of all, let's talk about China. China's central government does have lots of money. It's lots and lots of money. Who has a tremendous amount of debt is local governments and corporations in China. That's where huge amounts of debt are sitting. Okay, and so that's when you hear anything written about China about their debt problems, it's their companies and their municipalities. Well, they don't call them municipalities, but the same thing, similar. You know, their local government entities. These are really hugely in debt. Now, the difference, though, is, okay, so the central government has lots and lots of money, right? And they have the ability to print more money, just like our Federal Reserve here. Well, what happens, first of all, you got to remember, who owns most of the public shares in corporations in China? The central government owns them. They own a ton of their shares. You know, various entities that the central government has. So they're not, you know, publicly traded or owned like we have here. Also, when the municipalities get into financial trouble, what do? They go to the central bank, borrow money. So who's actually holding their debt? The central government. So, because it's like our Federal Reserve owning all the bonds that it has. Well, what if they're all corporate bonds and the corporations go under? Okay, do they get money back? So it's kind of a incestuous relationship there as far as who owns what debt. Who's ultimately responsible for it? That's the issue there. Now, as far as rebalancing, yeah. If you have one or two stocks and they're the one of your core holdings and they've really done well and shot up and maybe they're twice as much as they were when the initial bottom, yeah, you have to cut them back. They're out of balance. You have to cut them back, and that's exactly what that means. Remember, you're not cutting them back because you feel like it. You're cutting them back because they got the portfolio out of balance. You have too much of one thing or too much of two or three things. So, you know, you're just putting it back where you wanted to start and to begin with, and you rebalance that money. Now, think about it this way. Let's say you have this core holdings, and that's what you have in your portfolio, just core holdings. And they all went up in value, all at the same rate. Well, you wouldn't be out of balance, would you? Because they're all in balance still. That would be wonderful, but that's not reality. It's just not. So, yeah, you do have to cut back on certain things if they get out of balance. How to buy unit investment trusts? You might want to ask yourself why you would buy them. Why would you do it? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. We want to discuss. Now, I have been talking about housing, right? Well, how is housing this last quarter going to affect GDP? How the housing market in the last few years has been one of the drivers of our GDP. How about this most recent quarter? What's happening? Okay, also, I want to talk about, so why isn't the market going up or down? It's been months now. Even if you go back a couple years. Why isn't it going up or down? One way or another, what's preventing it from rallying? What's preventing it from falling? I got four items I think probably might answer that question. No one really knows, though. Don't think, you know, I have all the answers. And did you know the U.S. restaurant sales grew in the second quarter at their slowest pace since 2009? Why? why are restaurants growth slowing so much? That is really the interesting part. Why? Not that it is slowing, but as to why it's slowing. And we're going to talk about that. You know, I think you'll find it surprising. I think, you know, there's evidence as to, you know, well, where I don't want to get into it without, I don't want to spill the beans, so to speak. We'll just talk about that later. The market was big fat nothing today. The Dow was down 16. The S&P was up 16. And the S&P was up or down zero. How's that? Why was the NASDAQ up? Because Microsoft had some really good numbers. And it was it's a huge company. And it really had really good numbers because it was cloud computing. And that kind of pushed the NASDAQ. So we've had what? I would say the market was up this week overall, but not by a lot. And it was down last week. So kind of a, nothing happening. As I said, nothing is going bad. It's not going good. It's just there. It's just there. But I could tell you this. Growth stocks aren't working. Not generally. They're not. Once or twice a year, we spend our Saturday morning with our listeners and talk about a subject that we will think will benefit you in the coming months. And that's this one's all about why growth isn't working, growth stocks. It's 3 hours, 9 to noon. So it gives us time to go into some depth and drill down into and give you a better idea of where we're heading for 2017. How to prosper in a year of change, 2017. It's Saturday morning, 9 to noon, November 12th in San Jose. Here's what we'll focus on during that 3 hours. We will show you how global politics can disrupt markets. How help you understand the impact of shifting central bank policy all around the world. Shifting. They're changing. And explain why you should transfer from growth stocks to value investing. If you sign up for our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference by midnight, November 5th, you can take $10 off the $45 ticket price. You can sign up online on investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com. We're going to talk to Ben in Denver. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I've done better. I got a cold I'm fighting, so forgive my voice.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
sounded cold. A lot better last time you answered my question.
It's okay. Go ahead.
So I was on the podcast about 3 or 4 days ago, and I was the one that asked about the FHA multifamily housing thing.
Okay.
And you asked where I lived, because obviously where you live, real estate, that's a big factor.
Right.
So I live in the Denver region, which is pretty big for real estate right now.
Right.
And one of my buddies brought up the idea of either investing in or going with options on GDX or other gold mining companies. And, I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on the options versus, like, the more specific, the Denver location on that.
Well, Denver, actually, real estate market is pretty darn good. You know, if you were in Kansas, real estate is pretty slow, you know. But Denver, I think, is a pretty good market. It's nothing like out here in the West in, like, say, San Jose. But I do like... Ben, I got to take a break. Can I hold you over until after this quick break and then pick it up afterwards? Do you want to hold on?
That's fine with me.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm Steve Peasley, everybody, and this is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. 888-99-SHARP. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line. Ben, on investing in real estate, I like the diversification of real estate. So, you know, I'm an investor in this market, stock market, but I had real estate for years and years and years. I sold all my real estate. I had, like, you know, several properties, 5, 6 pieces of property. In the summer of 2005, or was it 2004? 2005, I think it was. Maybe 2 years before the top. But I think it's a good diversification, Ben. So, yeah, I'd like... real estate, and I like it in areas that's more volatile, like Denver. I don't like buying it because you need the return on invested dollars, you know. And when you borrow the money, you need a good rental income, and you'd like to have some appreciation. So yeah, you know, I think you do both. I think you do both.
How does being 24, I guess, affect that? Or like, if someone was older, putting into the investment.
Okay, I bought my first stock at age 21. I bought 3 stocks, not a lot, because I didn't have any money. I was broke, and just working a couple jobs. And then 3 years later, I bought my first property. It was vacant property in Del Mar, California, not facing the ocean, but away from the ocean. And I borrowed the down payment from my parents. So you can start when you're young. It just takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, you know, and you can't go out and buy, you know, an apartment complex, but you certainly can buy something that's low cost in a good location. And that's what I did. That's how I started. Ben, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope you feel better.
Me too. Thank you. Kevin in Poway. How you doing, Kevin?
Yeah. Hi, Steve. Good yakking at you.
Oh, thanks for calling. My brother lives in Poway.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. But that's for, is he also a Peasley?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. And, is he around the high school, the Poway High School, or the...
He's up in the hills area. I can't say too much because my brother would kill me, so...
All right, we don't want no blood. Yeah. We don't want no blood. We want bucks, not blood.
Yeah.
I'm twixt. As a retired guy,
mm-hmm.
I always like a nice income, steady
right.
stream. AT&T... for decades has been a horrible fundamentals company, but they always pay their dividend.
Yep.
And sometimes they go up a little, they go down a little, they go up a little.
Yep.
Now with the Time Warner deal, the potential Time Warner deal,
mm-hmm.
and a nice pullback in telephone,
mm-hmm.
it might be an interesting scenario. I would say as a core holding or somewhere in that direction, it would be reasonable to say that AT&T over the next 5 years would yield, let's say on average, 9-10%, even with the inclusion of Time Warner, and possibly even a continued dividend gentle growth
mm-hmm.
over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm twixt between that and Disney, which is not a dividend, but it's at a very significant discount in a very consumer discretionary sector, which I would say in 3 years might also be a 10-12% average return of maybe 10% on growth, 1% on dividends. Hmm. How should I think about this? In your opinion, feel free to
okay.
talk about either or both or just one.
Okay, let's talk about both in general. I think you might be a little bit generous on the returns per year. I think that's a little high, and I understand where you're getting that from, because if you look back, that's about what they do. That is what they do. But I think we're seeing a little different kind of environment going forward. So it might be hard to get 10%. 8% I'm pretty sure you're going to get per year. You know, we're talking about per year, right? Right.
Are we talking about AT&T and Disney?
Both of them. Any large cap companies. Now, let's talk about AT&T and specifically, and I don't know if everybody knows, but AT&T apparently is very close to buying Time Warner. Now, they're two totally different kind of businesses, but there is synergies, and I can understand why they do it. AT&T pays a very nice dividend, and as you said, Kevin, they're very steady. They're not exciting. They're not going to be any growth company, but they are pretty darn steady. And recently, because of the talk today, they were down pretty significantly. Their price is getting fairly cheap. Well, the Time Warner deal, remember, Time Warner is big. It's not a small, it's like a $100 billion deal. And why did AT&T go down? Well, because there's no, there's going to be problems. There's going to be big hurdles with this deal to get it passed. I think it could go through. But everybody's wondering, well, what's the synergies? Well, the synergy is Time Warner provides content, and AT&T provides a pipeline to the house, right? So I can see the synergy. Disney is total. I like Disney a lot because that's all about content. I like what they're doing. I think that, why don't you buy both? How's that? Thanks for calling. I got to go. We're open to your money questions and comments, everybody. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through to me right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing. If you haven't signed up to be an Invest Talk insider, we kind of wonder why. Really, it doesn't cost anything, and there's something for anyone who wants to improve their money management skills. Proper diversification of a portfolio is one of the top guidelines of portfolio management. Check out our info sheet on diversification. It's yours free with your insider membership, which also gives you access to our recorded webinars. Anybody can sign up for free. Just go to investtalk.com. You're listening to Invest Talk for Friday, October 21st. Investing in a rental home is not a turnkey investment. Choosing the right property, maintaining it, dealing with tenants, it all takes work. Should you buy an investment property? That's next time. And we hope you can join in. Have a question for Steve right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us from anywhere in the USA.
888-99-CHART. You know, I talked the last couple days about real estate and a new home sales report, which was down 9%. But the single-family homes was up, or multi-family homes were sharply down as far as new construction. But how does it relate to GDP for the quarter? Our gross domestic product. Because that's really, we're looking for the growth of the entire economy. Housing is very important. And of the housing numbers, statistics, the more important is the existing home sales, not new home sales, existing. That's more important because it's more of a transaction. There's more real estate transaction costs, as far as people making money and so on and so forth. So it's a bit more important. There's a lot more of those than new home sales, a lot more of existing home sales. So the trick is what? How did it work out for this third quarter? Well, the real estate transactions were less for the quarter. And there was a decline in housing starts for the third quarter. So the average level existing home sales in the third quarter is 2.2% below that of the second quarter. So that's going to affect GDP numbers downward. There's going to be a drag. Housing is going to be a drag on the GDP numbers. And if, just so you know, that was a 0.3% drag on the second quarter by the housing market. So there's going to be another drag this quarter on the housing market. Why is that important? Well, because GDP goes directly to the growth of our economy. That goes directly to the growth of jobs and salary increases and on and on and on. It's everything. And housing is so integral part of our economy. When new housings are sold, bought and sold, and people move, there's a lot of activity, economic activity generated. Buying furniture, fixing the house, doing things in the yard, buying a lawnmower, whatever you want to call it. All that is economic activity. So housing is kind of a very important aspect because the consumer spends money, and we all know how. Well, the consumer is what, 66-70% of our economy. So that tells me that our GDP numbers for the third quarter are probably not going to be that good, and especially if you look at the strength of the dollar. It's gained strength in the third quarter, which probably retarded our exports, okay, and probably increased our imports, which is another drag on GDP. 888-99-CHART is our open line for you to ask your money questions anytime.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Daniel in Palo Alto calling you.
with a question. I listen to you religiously on 1220 every day. I had a question about eBay. I own quite a number of shares of it and took a risk not to bail out before their earnings. They're down about 10% today, and just wondered if you would be hanging on to it. Most analysts are bullish on it for whatever that's worth. And just wondering what your take on it, or whether or not that would be a good time to buy some shares for other investors. eBay, buy, sell, hold. thank you. I appreciate your wisdom on that, and so grateful for your show.
Okay, no problem.
I have some money to turn over to you soon here, once I can get another meeting scheduled with you.
Okay.
Thanks for your time, and would love to hear about eBay. Thanks so much.
Okay, remember I talked about you got to move away from growth, and that's going to be our next conference here, move and toward value. eBay's a great company, very good company, growing, but not growing tremendously, 6, 10%, somewhere in there. But it's a growth stock, it has been, and it's transitioning from a growth to more of a regular big blue chip stock. It's a big company, $32 billion. You have to look at it differently. I think it's expensive. Even after dropping so much, I still think it's expensive. The P.E. ratio, I mean, it's going to make $2 a share, and it's a 29 P.E. Okay, so what is that? 12? 13? And you're saying, well, that sounds like a pretty low P.E. Its five-year range is 6 to 18. You know, I just say I think it needs to come down. I would be much more interested in the low 20s than 29, maybe 22, 23, somewhere around there. I think it's kind of expensive. The cash flow is $2.41. They have a pretty decent amount of debt. I'm not sure why they have that, but they do. Sales growth is in the, 3 to 4 to 5% on sales and 3 to 11% on earnings. So, yeah, it's a good company, but I don't think it's not for me. It's not for me at this stage. eBay, it provides online marketplace, electronic payment services via ebay.com. And I think their competition is coming in there that's just hurting them too. So just not the company for. I would exit eBay myself. Just wouldn't be a owner of eBay. So what do you do at our portfolio reviews? What do we do? You hear me talk about them. Well, first, together I look at your current strategy, your current life situation, find out where you are in your investment life and your financial life, and do you have children, not children, you're close to retirement. And then I look at your portfolio and see if it matches how much risk you should be taking or how much risk you want to take. It's a conversation. It's a discussion. And that's what we do on these things. And I don't try to talk into anything. That's not my style. I do explain how we do it, how we manage money, what our programs have. My programs are designed to try to meet most situations of people in their life, whether it be you want to be aggressive or conservative. So that's what we do. We talk about you, and if you want to talk about real estate, we talk about real estate. And health insurance, life insurance. I don't know about you, but the health insurance in my office, I just got the renewal premium, is up 21%+ this year. It's going up 21%. So that's a big factor these days. It is, health insurance. So I have set up an appointment time schedule. I'm going to be in San Ramon on November 1st. And if you're not near one of our California offices, I can meet you via Skype or over the telephone. It's easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, then portfolio review.
At the heart of a good professional relationship is trust. Trusting that your financial advisor is looking out for you. KPP Financial is a registered investment advisor, and being a fiduciary, they are required to make the best possible decisions for their clients, and being that the principals invest their own money in the same programs as their clients, there's a little extra assurance. If you'd like to see the investment programs offered by KPP Financial, just go to the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Ray and Durante. How you doing, Ray? How's it going?
How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the symbol FCX, Freeport-McMoRan, and U.S. Steel.
I like it. I like it. Freeport-McMoRan, everybody. FC is in cat, X is in X-ray. Engaged in the exploration development of copper, gold, silver mines in Indonesia, North and South America. Why do I like it? It's a $13 billion company, so it's pretty big, so it's fairly secure being a big cap company. Even though they have lots of debt, though, Ray, they do have a lot of debt, and that is a concern of mine, that debt level. But they're going to make 48 cents this year, which is 129% increase from last year. Then they're going to make $1.02 per share next year, another 113% increase. At $1.02 and the stock being at $10, that's a 10 PE. 10. Now, you're going to look at sales.
What do you think is the value?
Go ahead.
What do you think, Ray, is the fair value of that?
I think the stock is worth probably about $15 to $18 a share. That's what I think. Because the growth in sales, I don't think so. See, and that's really the key. If they survive, remember this stock was as low as $4 in the beginning of the year, and it's got as high as $14 in May, and now it's $10. So that's huge moves up and down. If you think about that, percentage wise, right? Huge. I think it looks like it's finding support right around this $10 area. $9.50 to $10 is probably where you want to buy it. Now, if it breaks below, let's call it $9.25, I'd probably get out and protect my assets, you know, because I'm not sure. But I think this is about where it's a fair value right now. If gold turns around and still it starts moving up again, this stock will take off. Therefore, if the dollar, Ray, if the U.S. dollar stops going up, because that's one of the problems for gold, is the dollar's been moving up recently in the last month or two. If it stops moving up, which I think it will, because I think what's happening is everybody is building into the dollar the increase in December by the Fed. It's already built in. Because if you think about it, Ray, last year the Federal Reserve increased the interest rate, which would strengthen the dollar, in December. And in January, Freeport-McMoRan went from $4 until May up to $13, $14 when the dollar got stronger because the Fed raised the rates. See, but that's because everybody looked forward to it. So what we're seeing now, Ray, is the dollar getting stronger because they're anticipating the Fed raising the rates. When the Fed actually raises the rate, the dollar will not go up. It'll probably go down. And gold will probably go up. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, Ray?
Do you like commodities in general?
I do. We own a number of gold mining companies right now. We bought them starting in the middle of last year and kept buying them all the way till the very beginning of this year. And we've had a huge run up in our – and we took a couple, you know, some little bit off the table. But we still have lots of gold mining companies. Okay, Ray?
What do you think about U.S. Steel?
Well, I have to get to the next caller, Ray. I'm sorry. If you call tomorrow, Monday, we'll answer that question for you. Let's go to Jeff in San Francisco. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good, good. Two questions. Trying to figure out if it's good to start sniffing around the pharmaceuticals dumpster, a.k.a. everything's in the tank right now. What's the long-term... long-term prospects for getting back into bio and pharma?
Well,
looking at one fund right now, F is in Frank, S is in Sam, D is in Paul, H is in Harry, X is in Xylophone, Fidelity Pharmaceutical Fund.
Okay.
Hovered around $19. Looking good. Checked it on Morningstar. 3-star on the fund. You know, they say it's half and half.
Weiser
says buy it. Everybody's. What are you saying?
I like three-star funds, by the way. Morningstar rates mutual funds from one star or no stars to five stars. I kind of stay away from the five-star funds. You know why I stay away from the five-star funds, Jeff? It's because they're already five stars.
Why?
Yeah, they already got up there. They're already the best. They're already, you know, well, can they stay the best? I'm kind of looking for the ones that are moving up, you know, and three stars were the minimum I would be. But let's talk about the sector, the healthcare sector.
Yes.
This is the issues I have. The issues I have are all political, Jeff. Nothing to do with the companies, nothing to do. It's all political. We know what Obamacare has done. If Hillary gets in, she's going to continue Obamacare, and they're going to try to fix it. Okay, let's say Hillary doesn't get in. Let's say Trump gets in. Trump was going to make massive changes to try to get rid of it. Either party, Hillary is going to try to squeeze profits from the sector. Try to, you know, squeeze, get those companies making less money. Whereas Trump wants to change the whole system, throw it in disarray.
Yeah.
That is my biggest worry about. It has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the company. It has something to do with the lack of transparency, what it's going to look like a year from now. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I probably would stay away from the area now at this point.
Okay.
That's just my opinion, Jeff.
Yeah, that's just trying to get a feel for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've done great medical equipment, done great, but as I said, it's just, I'm wondering if it's safe to go back into pharma anymore.
Yeah,
so.
I wouldn't say never or not. Don't ever buy any, because there's going to be one or two stocks that probably will be winners no matter what. But as a whole sector, I'd be very careful of that sector. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
So why isn't the market moving up or down with any degree of significance of any kind? Why is it just kind of starting back, middle of 2014, almost all of 2015 and 2000, why is it just kind of hanging around, doing not much? I have four aspects or four things that might be the cause that I want to share with you. We're going to do that right after this break. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. A reminder to use our free risk analysis tool, and you can take a giant step toward making sure your portfolio is a good fit for you. Try it on InvestTalk.com.
Every bit of advice you are willing to share, I very much appreciate.
InvestTalk is here to help.
I really enjoy this show.
And we thank you for listening.
I'm sorry that I can't hear it every day.
So should you buy unit investment trusts? Do you know what unit investment trusts are? Okay, you know what mutual funds are. You know what ETFs are. And we talked about them. And you know what a closed-end fund is. And that's a closed-end fund, meaning it has a finite number of shares in a mutual fund or an ETF. Well, a unit investor trust is a closed-end investment pooled investment vehicle. Finite number of shares. And usually people buy unit investment trusts for the income. There's thousands of them, by the way. Just not very popular. You have to buy them through a brokerage. They're expensive to buy. Unit investor trusts only last for a certain length of time, 1 year, 5 years, and they hold a group of positions in them. They just hold them. So if they pay dividends, you get the dividends. And then at the end of the time period of the unit investor trust, you get your money back. And what if the value goes up, then you get the increased value. It's that simple. Why should you buy them? I don't think you should. There's no reason to buy them. What happens is it's just a wrapping of extra cost. Really, why don't you just buy the positions and just hold them? Because that's what they're doing. So why pay a fee for that? That's your investment trust. Okay? Now, let's talk about the market. Let's talk about why the market goes up or down. Why it hasn't moved in months, or maybe a year or two it hasn't really moved. And I think there's three basic reasons. First one is interest rates. not just the rate of interest rates, the rate of interest rates and yields in bonds, and the difference between the spread of the 10-year Treasury and those yields and interest rates. In other words, there is no spread between those two things. There's no return in a 10-year Treasury, basically over inflation, really. So there's no really reason to buy or not to buy, but it's a good place to park money, but you probably won't earn anything. Okay, so there's one set of parameters. Okay, then you have the investor's sentiment. The Michigan consumer sentiment number that comes out, in 2000, it peaked. The market peaked shortly after and started going down. In 2007, it peaked. This is the consumer sentiment. 2008, the market went down, crashed. In 2015, it peaked again at a much higher level than the other two. The market hasn't gone down, hasn't gone up. Also, the AAII, American Association of Independent Investors, they are neutral on the market. This is a big organization that tracks the sentiment of all their members. And they're neutral. They're holding a lot of cash. They're just sitting. Then you add in growth, world GDP. Now, for the last 20 years, world GDP has grown from 2.5% to 4.5% per year. Where are we? We're at the very low range of the world GDP. Then what about growth in growth stocks? The Russell 3000, the growth stock index, the Russell 3000 growth stock index. It's done nothing. And then the baby boomers. Baby boomers not sure where they should put the money. Everybody is frozen in time, in my personal opinion. We're just sitting. Not necessarily bullish. We're not necessarily bearish. We're just sitting. Chris in Pittsburgh. How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I just want to say I love your show, man.
Thank you.
Really good.
Thank you.
Two questions. What do you think of Bank of America and the Vita? D as in dog, V as in Victor, A as in app.
Okay. Okay, let's do DaVita. Bank of America is a big, huge bank. We all know about that. We all know about the problems they have. I would stay away from the big banks. I've been staying away from them for several years now, and I still think you should stay away from them because they're, to me, big banks are like the tobacco companies were in 2000, in the early 2010, where everybody was attacking the tobacco companies, and they were the enemy of the world. Well, now everybody hates big banks. And so governments around the world are attacking them. So I don't care about that. I think I stay away. DaVita is a dialysis service company. They're growing very steadily. They're making good money, but they're expensive. They're going to make $4.11. It's a $60 stock. I think it's still going to fall some more. So wait till it stops falling, Chris. That's what I would do. DVA.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Our time is up for this 1 hour. Remember, if you sign up for our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference by midnight, November 5th, and you can take a $10 price. You can take $10 off the price of $45 per ticket. So it's $35 if you sign up early. You can sign up online at investtalk.com, and I appreciate it if you would do it. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, we thank you for listening today, and let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.